I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. This is the New World Report, and we're heading to Ecuador, a country I've spent very little time reporting on because the news out of there is natural resources, except this is a CBS News report. Once a relatively peaceful neighbor of major cocaine producers Colombia and Peru, Ecuador has become a battleground for criminal gangs looking to control the trade. The violence is grim. Listen to this. Takes multiple forms. Car bombs, prison massacres, bodies hanging from bridges. Commonplace. Decapitated heads are found in the street. This is a horror movie, Professor. Has this been going on a long time or is it sudden?
This is relatively recent, John. And first of all, it's important to point out that during the time when Colombia had its problem with insurgency and narco trafficking, when cocaine was taking off in Peru, as you pointed out, that Ecuador, a relatively small country that was wedged between the two major cocaine source zone countries in South America, had generally managed to avoid most of those problems. Indeed, Ecuador has long had relatively good infrastructure, has had relatively functional institutions, a relatively educated population. Indeed, it was a popular destination spot for many U.S. expats. However, in recent years, narco-trafficking problem began to spill over, and really a couple different developments. One is that some of the Mexican groups, specifically the Sinaloa cartel, began to operate there in conjunction with a local gang called Los Choneros, because of their origin from Chone, as well as the other big Mexican group we've talked about, Jalisco Nueva Generacion, that began to work with local gangs, including Los Lobos y Los Tiguerones. And so what first really brought this to light was there was major violence within some of the Ecuadorian prisons between these cartel tied gangs that ultimately led to a total of 400 people being killed in a series of prison riots in 2021. But it goes beyond that now, because you also have in the Ecuador-Peruvian border, you have cocoa growing there. You'd had previously under the Lenin Moreno government, you'd had some violence begin to spill over from Colombia, including the killing of journalists and others that actually led to a change in defense ministers in Ecuador. So this is a problem that's relatively recent, but it's only now begin to really boil over in very large portions. But again, I would emphasize that part of the reason this is so shocking for Ecuadorians is this has been a relatively peaceful, well-governed, beautiful country that works with, again, an educated population, despite the horrors of politically of Rafael Correa in previous regimes. And frankly, also, this is a country that is struggling with other issues. It's struggling with fiscal problems, trying to make IMF payments. It had protests back in 2019. Again, it had a series of very severe protests with its indigenous population, led by a group called CONAI and a radical leader, Linus Iza, which basically shut down oil production in the country and actually created food shortages when they tried to blockade Guayaquil. And so the narco violence comes on top of some very real kind of social political violence this country is facing. It's really a symptom of this very difficult period, not only because of post-COVID-19, but also because of the price shocks we're seeing as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And so for a beautiful, educated, very functional country, Ecuador has hit some very difficult times.
We just have 30 seconds. Would you say that President Lasso's administration is unstable because of this violence, or is it constant?
Well, there are certainly calls for Lasso to resign in Ecuador in Congress during the recent protests. I think Lasso, from a center-right perspective, has managed things about as well as he could. But just that the conditions have put a lot of pressure on him. And there are certain people like the leftist represented by Rafael Correa who would like to see him fall and like to see Ecuador return to a more populist Chavista model of governance. And I think that's one of the things that we're hoping to avoid.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.